NVIDIA just posted $81.6 billion in a single quarter, and that might not even be the biggest story of the week. Welcome to iSkimIQ Weekly Digest. I'm Alice, and joining me, as always, is Max. We are in week 21 of 2026, and honestly, Max, I'm not sure where to start this week. The list is genuinely overwhelming.
Same. I kept opening the briefing, thinking I'd found the lead story, and then something else would knock it off the top. Google I.O. alone would be a full episode. Then Anthropic drops a valuation that makes your eyes water.
And then there's the White House pulling an AI safety executive order at the literal last minute. We have hardware records, agentic AI going industrial, a papal encyclical. It is a lot.
A papal encyclical. That's a sentence I did not have on my 2026 bingo card.
I promise we'll get there. Let's start with the numbers that set the stage for everything else this week. NVIDIA. So, NVIDIA reported first quarter fiscal 2027 revenue of $81.6 billion. That's up 20% from the previous quarter alone, and net profit came in at $58.3 billion. Jensen Huang literally said demand is going parabolic just days before the earnings dropped.
How is that even a sustainable trajectory? Like, who is buying this much compute?
Hyperscalers, your Microsofts, Amazons, Googles, plus enterprise and now national security. The White House approved $9 billion for U.S. spy agencies to acquire cutting-edge chips. That's a new demand category that basically didn't exist 2 years ago.
So governments are now in the chip queue alongside big tech.
Exactly. And it gets more complex. Huang actually acknowledged that NVIDIA has largely conceded China's market to Huawei because of U.S. export controls. Which sounds like bad news, but apparently their $200 billion CPU market projection still factors in some Chinese demand through compliant channels. Meanwhile, Alibaba unveiled the Zhenwu M890 chip alongside its Qwen 3.7 Max language model. China is building its own vertically integrated AI stack and moving fast.
So even at record numbers, NVIDIA is watching a parallel universe form on the other side of the trade war.
That's the tension. And just to round out the hardware picture, AMD announced more than $10 billion in Taiwan ecosystem investments. There's a new developer platform from them called Ryzen AI Halo, and chip startup Tenstorrent is apparently fielding takeover interest from both Intel and Qualcomm. Everyone wants an alternative to NVIDIA, even when NVIDIA is printing money.
The irony of trying to dethrone someone at their peak is very Silicon Valley.
Moving to Google I.O., which dominated the product conversation this week. Two headline launches. First, Gemini Omni, a new family of models that can take text, images, audio, and existing video and produce or edit video from any combination of those inputs, all in one conversational interface. People are already calling it the most significant creative AI product from Google since their earlier image generation work.
So it's not just generating video from a text prompt, it's any-to-any. You can hand it a photo and a voice memo and get a video back?
That's the pitch, yes. The first OmniFlash model is live right now. And the second big launch is arguably more consequential for everyday users, Gemini Spark. It's an always-on AI agent baked into a redesigned Gemini app. It drafts your emails, monitors your inbox, plans events while you sleep, and the roadmap includes autonomous spending on your behalf.
Autonomous spending. So it can just buy things for you.
That's where it's headed. And it comes with a premium price tag, which immediately raises questions about whether consumers are ready to hand that kind of trust to an AI agent. There were also announcements around Gemini, 3.5 Flash for developers, new agentic search features, and Canva, Adobe, and CapCut all integrating directly into the Gemini ecosystem.
The ecosystem play is smart. If your competitors have to live inside your platform, you control the gravity well.
And Google and Blackstone announced a joint venture to launch a new TPU-based AI cloud company with $5 billion in equity capital. So Google is extending its infrastructure ambitions beyond its own data centers. This is a direct structural challenge to NVIDIA's cloud dominance, offering hyperscaler customers an alternative compute path.
Between the hardware story and Google's announcements, this feels like the week where the AI arms race moved from who has the best model to who owns the entire stack.
Lee, that is precisely the pattern we're seeing, and we'll come back to it in our trends section. But first, the governance story, because this one genuinely surprised me. President Trump had an executive order prepared that would have created a federal vetting system requiring frontier AI models to go through government review before public release. And then it was pulled, last minute, after phone calls from Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, and David Sachs.
Wait, so a safety regulation was lobbied out of existence before it was even announced?
Before it was signed, the order never made it out. And the thing that makes this so interesting is that in the very same week, US and Chinese officials agreed to begin formal AI safety discussions following Trump's visit to China. So domestically, the safety infrastructure gets killed. Internationally, there's a quiet but potentially meaningful diplomatic step forward.
That's a contradictory set of signals to send to the world in the same 7 days.
It perfectly captures where governance is right now. Fragmented, pulled in different directions, no clear center. And then there's the Vatican dimension. Pope Leo XIV is releasing the first ever AI encyclical titled Magnifica Humanitas on May 25th. And Anthropic co-founder and interpretability lead Christopher Ola has been invited as a guest speaker. The AI ethics conversation is now happening in churches, bilateral summits, state attorneys general offices, and executive orders that may or may not survive a phone call.
Christopher Ola, presenting to the Vatican, is genuinely one of the more surreal professional engagements I can imagine.
And yet it makes a kind of sense. These are the institutions trying to work out what we actually value, and AI is forcing that question everywhere now. Okay, let's talk Anthropic, because their funding news is staggering. The current round is reportedly on track to close above $30 billion, which would put the valuation at approximately $900 billion. That could make Anthropic the most valuable AI startup in the world, potentially surpassing OpenAI.
$900 billion for a company that's, what, 5 years old?
About that. And analysts are noting that the revenue projections underpinning that valuation are still being actively debated. But here's the twist. In the same week, Microsoft revoked internal Claude code licenses for thousands of its own employees. The reason given was unsustainable usage costs. Too many tokens? Too much spend?
So the product is good enough that people use it too much. And that's the problem.
Exactly. The very thing that makes Claude attractive at scale is what makes it expensive at scale. Microsoft is pivoting back toward its own Copilot stack, even as internal reports acknowledge that GitHub has lost the early lead it had in AI coding tools. Claude Code, Cursor, Gemini, CLI, they're all eating into Copilot's market share. And Microsoft's overall Copilot adoption on Windows 11 is reportedly sitting at around 3.3%, which prompted a former Microsoft executive to call for a full factory reset on the strategy.
That's a brutal number when you're betting the company on this.
Though to be fair, Microsoft's enterprise AI business overall hit a $37 billion annualized run rate this week. So the revenue is real. The individual product strategies are just messy. For Anthropic, despite the cost tensions, the week was a good one. New London office, visibility through the Vatican event, and a funding round that signals the market still believes in them enormously.
$900 billion in belief.
Last major story. Agentic and physical AI reaching what I'd call industrial scale. Figure AI's humanoid robot completed more than 81 hours of continuous autonomous package sorting, streamed live on YouTube. Huge public attention. But, and this is the important caveat, when they ran a race between the robot and a human intern, the intern won.
An intern beat the robot. That should probably be in the headline.
Real-world dexterity in unstructured environments is still genuinely hard. But the trend is undeniable. UK-based Humanoid signed a deal to deploy thousands of robots in Schaeffler manufacturing plants. FANUC, which has over 1 million industrial machines installed globally, announced a collaboration with Google to bring AI agents into that installed base. Walmart credited its Sparky AI agent with lifting average order value and unit sales, actual revenue attribution, not a pilot.
So it's moving from we're exploring AI agents to here's the revenue line.
Which is exciting and concerning simultaneously. Because also this week, a Claude-powered agent accidentally deleted a company's entire database. The governance gap between what these agents can do and what oversight exists is widening fast. a former NASA robotics chief, published a warning that the U.S. is optimizing for humanoid demos rather than the task-specific, cost-efficient systems that will actually win in practice.
Style over substance in the robot race. That feels like a pattern that ends badly.
All right, let's zoom out and find the threads that run through all of this. What's the pattern you keep seeing, Max?
Vertical integration, everywhere. Alibaba pairs its own chip with its own model. Google connects TPUs to Gemini to Omni Video to Spark agents. AMD is rebranding as an AI systems company, not a hardware vendor. The winners want to own the full stack, not just one layer.
That's the first big theme. The second one I'd call cost sustainability as a hidden risk. Microsoft revoking Claude licenses, the debate about AI tool adoption rates, analyses of AI's hidden network bandwidth costs. There is a growing gap between what companies are spending on AI capability and what they can demonstrate as return on investment. That's going to sharpen in the second half of this year.
And the US-China dimension keeps intensifying in ways that feel underreported. NVIDIA conceding China's chip market to Huawei, Chinese video generation models apparently pulling ahead of US rivals in quality and deployment speed, record robotics venture funding in China, and then the first tentative safety talks. The geopolitics are now a primary design constraint, not a side consideration.
And cutting across all of it, governance is fragmenting. The executive order that wasn't, the Vatican encyclical that is, the bilateral summit, the independent watchdog reports on rogue deployment risks. There's no single institution setting the rules right now. Next week, watch for the Magnifica Humanitas encyclical on the 25th. Any updates from the US-China safety dialogue, and whether Anthropic's round formally closes at that $900 billion figure.
And honestly, watch whether any more AI agents delete anything important.
Always a good watch. That is a week that will take a while to digest, and we've barely scratched the surface on the research and funding stories. Links to the full briefing are in the show notes. That's your weekly digest. I'm Alice with Max. See you next Sunday. If you enjoy the podcast, you can buy me a coffee. You'll find the link on this episode's page on the website.